There's now confirmation there's more than 40 members present, both in person and online, so we can begin. And before the commencement of the meeting, members are requested to indicate by voting options for or against. That will appear on their screen shortly. They are content for the meeting to proceed in this revised format, as indicated in the letter to members dated 28th of August. So we need a proposer for that motion, please, that we actually continue. Thank you, Mr. D'Souza. Thank you. And second is Peter Ratcliffe. Thank you very much. Those in favour? I'll now give those online 30 seconds to vote, after which I'll declare the results. Thank you very much. So the 47 have indicated they are in favour and none against, thankfully. So we can now proceed with the meeting with the Lord's help. It's my privilege to welcome you on behalf of the Trinitarian Bible Society. May the Lord be with us as we attend to worship his name for the first few minutes and then attend to the business meeting. We shall read from Holy Scripture from Psalm 126. Psalm 126. This is a psalm of degrees. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then to them under heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And really, just two words in that last verse that stand out, bearing in mind the meeting we are engaged in, those words, precious seed. And these have to do, of course, with the Word of God. It's the seed that we are sowing with his help. And the Word of God speaks of it as precious seed. In the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, the expression was made, the word of God was precious in those days. I presume that meant that first of all it was rare. There were very sad days in which Eli was living and Samuel in his early days. And thus, sadly, the word of God was rare in its appreciation and rare in its application. Secondly, I think it meant that it was unparalleled, because there's nothing to compare with the Word of God. What was said about our dear Saviour on one occasion, never man spake like this man, could surely be said of the holy and inerrant, infallible Word of God. It is unparalleled. No other book written by men comes anywhere near this divinely inspired book that from Genesis to Revelation is the Word of God to us. And how favoured we are if we have that ear to hear what God, the Lord, has to say. And thirdly, I believe it was precious in this sense, that it was authoritative. In Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, we read of how the Lord, by his word, cast out the devils and the unclean spirits, and they acknowledge the power with which he spoke. So in those three ways, at first, these It is a very precious word. It's rare, unparalleled, and authoritative. But there are all these other things that follow on from this precious seed. And I do like to think about last verse, the verse in which we are considering. In a sense, this is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came forth in due time, ordained by the Father. He came forth weeping, bearing the precious seed of his word, and he sowed it. And we know that one day he'll return, and he'll bring all his sheaves with him, his heavenly harvest will be gathered, and not one grain, we're told, will fall to the ground. And it is our privilege in these New Testament times, as he may use our feeble efforts, to continue to sow the precious seed that he has provided. He himself is the seed in one blessed sense. And it is our privilege to spread, as God may help us, the word to the four corners of this earth in its purity and in its infallibility. Now, the word precious, of course, is used more than once. Peter, in particular, had a great regard for it. And why did Peter have a great regard for it? Because he had proved the preciousness of the word of God, particularly in his own life. That word that was given to him when he went into the sin of Satan, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And in that sense, you see, he had a word from the lip of the incarnate word, which held him in that time of great testing and great trial. So it's no wonder that Peter speaks in his second epistle, in the first chapter, of precious faith. And in the first epistle, he speaks of the word of God being the incorruptible seed. And that's what it is. When the Holy Ghost takes the word and plants it in a sinner's heart, it's the beginning of eternal life. It's an incorruptible seed that is given, that bears this fruit of precious faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, so Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10. And those who are blessed with this precious faith, Peter tells us, also have access to the precious blood, another incorruptible blessing, not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Wonderful thing to have access to that cleansing fountain. We read of in 1 John chapter 1, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And where this precious faith is given by the Holy Spirit, that soul has the access and the privilege of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the fruit of his living and dying and rising again that belong to his people. And then, coming back to the seed of the word, Peter himself speaks in the second epistle again of precious promises. Because our faith needs strengthening. No man can keep alive his own soul. And so we need the Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith. And he strengthens it by these precious promises that are scattered throughout the word of God, right from Genesis to Revelation. I think of that first, fear not, that's in the word of God. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Wonderful promises, strength of Abraham's faith at a time of great testing, great loneliness. And then you go to Isaiah 41 and that well repeated, not repeated too much, wonderful promise. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold the right hand of my righteousness. These are precious promises, and they support the Church of Christ in their battle here below. As good Samuel Rutherford said, they wrestle on toward heaven against storm and wind and tide. But you see, here is the word of God that strengthens their faith, and the Holy Spirit using it so to do. One good man said that the word without the Spirit is dead, but the Spirit without the word is dumb. So you see, dear friends, it is the holy word of God that he uses to quicken and to strengthen and to enable the Church of Christ to hold on their way, especially in dark and difficult times. And then we read in another place of the death of the saints are precious to Christ. Why is that? Well, he's gathering his harvest. He's come to gather one of his sheaves. It's come to fruition. And it's time to take that sheep home and to glory. Use the analogy, understand my analogy I'm making. The death of a saint is though it leaves a sad gap here below in the hearts of those who leave behind, and is eminently felt. But on the other hand, what a privilege for the saints of God to be at last gathered into that garden, into that harvest where there's no more sin, no more temptation, no more trials, no more tribulation. I think one of the hymns says, Lord of harvest, grant that we pure and wholesome grain may be. But preeminently, the Lord Jesus Christ is the heavenly sower through his servants. The seed is his word, and Isaiah tells us that the success is assured. And we should never forget that. He says, my word will not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that thing whereto I send it. And we often feel weak, do we not, in our work, weak in our labours, and often feel to come so far short. But in the eyes of Almighty God, his word will not fail to accomplish that that he is determined it will do so. Not hell itself can undo what God's holy word accomplishes when God puts forth his power with it. That's why our Lord said to Peter, when speaking of that foundation which the Church of Christ has built, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Doesn't mean they won't come against it. And they come against the word of God in our day in a very insidious way. But it cannot prevail, because it's the word of God. And sooner God himself would fail if his word were to fail. This is our foundation of our hope and of our labours we trust in doing this work in God's hand. So it's our privilege to be sowers. We are bearing precious seed in this holy word of God as we seek to distribute it among the nations. We seek to distribute pure and uncorrupted versions of the Holy Scriptures. And in so doing, we are sowing the seed. But the success belongs to God. Paul may plant, Apollos may water, but it's God who gives the increase. And any increase of what our poor labours have accomplished, it's all God's work. I thought of what Joseph said when he went before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, I understand you can interpret dreams. It's not in me, he said. It's God who gives, will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And we must say that. It's not in us, but it's God who will bless the word, the seed that he gives us to sow. So may it be our privilege in God's hand, weak though we feel to be in this day, so opposed. But the success is assured. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Our Lord went forth, yes, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And yes, the success is assured. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. This is our foundation. May it encourage us to press on in this work which we humbly trust God has called us to. Shall we pray? So please stand for prayer. Almighty and most gracious Lord God, thou art that eternal Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has given to thy dear Son that precious name, the Word. The express image and mind of God the Father is the dear Son of God. And how amazing that he should come into this sin-cursed earth, verily God, verily man, and sow that precious seed. It was sown in the Old Testament, from the beginning of the word in the prophetic days, but then came to be fulfilled when the heavenly sower himself came into this earth. Oh, how we thank thee for that condescending love. Oh, the weeping that our Saviour endured, the sorrows that he bore, that we might have the privilege of a gospel day that we enjoy even at this time. And oh, we do pray that by thy blessed Spirit, who is the divine inspirer of Holy Scripture, we may often be encouraged by the word, fed by it, instructed by it, sometimes corrected by it, comforted by it. May it ever be a living word to us. May it ever be a word upon which we may lean. And may we find in it our full and complete salvation. As thy servant Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Those two words to me, Lord, how personal they are, how vital it is to me, the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And oh, we bless thy great and holy name for all those who can honestly say before thee that thou hast given them an appetite for the word and hast proved it to be true, that thy words were found and I did eat them and they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. So we pray at this time, as we seek to review thy goodness and mercy to the society over the past year and its past years, that thou be graciously pleased to help us this morning hour and help those who will take their part. And we think of all those unable to be with us at this time, the many remote listeners, may they be with us in heart and in mind and in spirit. May we prove, even though this is a unique way of conducting our annual meeting, that nonetheless, thou art with us. Lord, thou art not bound by walls or by places, not everywhere present, but we pray thou wilt be very specially present here at this time. And do pardon and forgive all that thy pure, holy eyes see wrong in us. But even in our most holy things, there wanteth not sin, how we have to confess it. And again, we have to come back to the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and there prove it to be true. It cleanses from all sin. So may all our works, our words, our ways, our thoughts be cleansed, washed, even this day. And do get honour and glory to thy dear name, Lord Jesus, as we seek thine honour in this world and we thy feeble servants, but nonetheless, what a privilege to be in thy hand a sower of the infallible, incorruptible seed of the word of the eternal God. Bless us now. Help us, we pray, as we ask it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake alone. Amen. Amen. It is my privilege to welcome you to this annual general meeting. I would like first of all to read a little message that came from our president, Mr. Paul Rowland, and he has sent a little message that I'm going to read to you at the outset of this meeting. I regret that my services as president are unable as yet to be more than the remembering of its society, its officers, personnel, and its many projects for the Most High in prayer. However, very few activities could be considered more important than the seeking the blessing of Almighty God to rest upon the Society's great work of publishing and distributing faithful translations of the Holy Scriptures among all nations. So he cannot be here in person, and as yet he cannot resume those labours he loves, but we are very, very appreciative of the prayers that he is putting up for us. And may the Lord bless our President and give him full recovery in due season. We now attend to the business of the meeting. During the course of the meeting, I'll be asking for motions to be voted on, and these motions will be ratified at the next conventional in-person meeting. Members were requested to raise any questions of the motions prior to this meeting, and we have sought to answer them accordingly. Members will be asked to vote on the minutes of last year's annual general meeting, ratify the adjournment of the AGM for the Metropolitan Tabernacle, the annual report, audited financial statements, the reappointment of the charity trustees and the general committee, and the appointment of the auditors. Now, the voting procedure I'll go through again so we know how we're going to proceed. As stated earlier, members online will be asked to vote by selecting for or against the motion that will be read out and will appear on their screen. Their vote will be cast when they click one of the two options, and you'll be given 30 seconds to do so. A few people physically present will be able to indicate their vote by raising their hand. Each motion must have a proposer and a seconder for among those physically present. When a motion has been proposed and seconded, the motion before the meeting. Given the circumstances, we have asked anyone who wishes to speak to certain motions do so in advance. We have received no such requests. If there is more than one motion, each motion will be taken separately and in the order in which they have been placed before the meeting. The business meeting is expected to conclude, God willing, at 1:45 p.m. and the service of worship at 2:30 to start, God willing, at 2:30. So we now proceed to the first motion, and I'll make one little observation connection with it. This is to approve and sign the minutes of the AGM held on 21st September 2019. The minutes of the AGM were circulated with David Broome's covering letter of August 2020. Only members who were present at the AGM last year are entitled to vote on the approval of the minutes of that meeting. And the vote is to establish that members are happy that the minutes are an accurate record of business transacted at the AGM last year. We have received no request to amend the minutes. So the motion is that the minutes of the annual general meeting held on 21st September 2019 be approved and signed as a true record of that meeting. Here's a proposer for this motion, please. Mr. Alan Jones and Mr. Peter Ratcliffe seconding. Thank you very much. Now, the option to vote will now appear on the screen. Please vote for or against. So those present can indicate by raising their hand. Very much. So 33 voted for and none against. So the minutes are passed. So thank you very much for that. Now we have an unusual motion. This time we've got to ratify the adjournment of the AGM from the Metropolitan Tabernacle. Of course, the announcers maybe would meet there. So we have to now formally admit that we can't meet there. And the motion is as follows. As the Metropolitan Tabernacle is not open to us at venue for this year's AGM due to COVID-19 restrictions. This is only determined after a public announcement was made. The meeting is formally adjourned to the Center of the Tabernacle at 11 a.m. this morning. To be held over this meeting, we are now attending. Who was present at that meeting, MetTab? Mr. Arnold and Mr. Jones. So we can have the witnesses that it was there. Thank you. So the motion is to ratify the adjournment of the AGM called at 11 a.m. on Saturday 19th September 2020 at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, London, as it was in Quarate. To this meeting being held at 12:30 p.m. on Saturday 19th September 2020 at William Tyndale House, SW19 3NN, with some members in person and the rest attending online. So we need a proposal and seconder. Thank you, Alan, a seconder. Richard, Alan Jones, Richard Clark. Those in favour, please, indicate. Now you have the opportunity to vote for or against. Much. So 55 have voted for and none against. So that's very reassuring. We can continue with the meeting, thankfully. Thank you very much, subscribers. But now it is our privilege to introduce the item six, which is the Senior Director Resources Director Report by Mr. David Broom. Now, unfortunately, sadly, he's unable to be with us in person at William Tyndale House. He's isolating, but he has pre-recorded his message, and we ask David as your apprentice report to the meeting.
Mr. Chairman, members and supporters of the Trinitarian Bible Society, we come again to one of these annual occasions when we would look back and remember all the way which the Lord our God has led us over the past year. As this society approaches its 190th birthday, we come in with David in Psalm 109, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. This society exists to promote the glory of God, and we would ever seek to honour that. You will shortly hear about some of the remarkable things that the Lord has been doing during 2019, in and through the society, particularly in relation to translation and distribution of the Holy Scriptures. However, I would just highlight a few things of a more corporate nature first. As reported a year ago, we lost the active involvement of our esteemed General Secretary, Mr. Paul Rowland, in May 2019 due to ill health, which was followed by his retirement in October. We give thanks for Paul's immense labours over 45 years and sincerely wish him the Lord's richest blessing and the continued recovery of his health and strength. We look forward to the day when he can become more actively involved in his honorary role as President of the Society. Since July 2019, the three directors in London have led the Society in close cooperation with the General Committee and the General Secretaries of the Society's international branches. We thank the Lord for strength, wisdom, and warm brotherly union given. We seek your continued prayers for us. Our deputation speaker, Dr. David Allen, retired and was replaced by Reverend Craig Dennison in the spring of 2019. Please pray for Dr. Allen, who is again experiencing poor health. We have recently added a new occasional speaker. Pastor Jonathan Mundy of Exeter has kindly agreed to take meetings in the southwest of England. We seek prayer for all the Society's deputation speakers, that their labours may be greatly blessed. During 2019, the Society's strategic review continued apace, including completion of reviews on all five areas of service delivery, that is, translating, publishing, distributing, upholding and promoting, as well as the considerations of balancing these core activities, regulatory and compliance matters, support and engagement, the use of digital technology, and the preparation of a draft financial strategy. We would particularly express our thankfulness to our members, who took part in our member consultation in the summer of 2019. The feedback has proved invaluable across a wide range of considerations. We often refer back to it and have shared some summarised results in the quarterly record. Turning briefly to the Society's financial results for 2019, more detail can be found in the annual report, quarterly record 632, which was circulated to members in August, and also in the full Trustees Annual Report and Financial Statements 2019, which is available on our website. In summary, the Society's worldwide operating deficit for 2019 was £270,000. Adjusting to a surplus of £15,000 when investment and foreign exchange gains and losses are added back, so that the financial result for the year was broadly break-even. We're very thankful that voluntary giving, including legacies, was up by almost 25% on the previous year, although sales were down by 8%. It is a source of great thankfulness to the Lord that the Society's financial reserves were maintained during 2019. As mentioned at last year's AGM, completion of the sale of the Society's investment property, John Wycliffe House, took place in early June 2019. For the sum of £2.45 million, which contributed to the boosting of the Society's cash and cash investments at the year end by around £2.2 million. As with charities in general, our 2019 audit involved a higher level of scrutiny than usual, due to the need to demonstrate that the society remains a going concern in the light of potential reductions in income caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Thankfully, under God, the society has been able to satisfy our auditors on this point. We marvel at the Lord's timing in the sale of John Wycliffe House, which has given us a solid cash balance at this challenging time. I commend the annual report and financial statements of 2019 to you for approval later in this meeting. 2020 has been no less eventful in different ways. It feels as if the year has been dominated by the COVID-19 pandemic and lockdown, which caused major changes to the way that the society operated from March 2020, with our London office being essentially closed from 18th of March to mid-July. It has been a very challenging time. However, through the Lord's great mercy, the society's operations in London have continued, largely unhindered, apart from deputation meetings and our showroom being closed. This is despite most of our staff having to work from home and some being on furlough for periods of time. Again, we see that the Lord has gone before us, because many of our staff were already used to an element of home working, and we have the infrastructure in place to deal with it. Our London warehouse has remained open throughout the lockdown, with all the necessary precautions in place, of course, and we are especially thankful to the warehouse team for their labours over that period. Through the Lord's mercy, voluntary income levels have held up well so far this year, although sales are somewhat down. We do sincerely thank all our members and supporters who give so willingly to TBS. We were deeply shocked to hear of the sudden death of our former Assistant General Secretary and later Operations Director, Mr. David Larlam, following a heart attack on the 14th of July 2020. David only fully retired from the Society in April 2018, having served in different capacities for almost 20 years. We thank the Lord for his dedicated service over that long period of time, and we extend our heartfelt sympathies to Monica, the family and the church. The replacement of the Society's financial system with a new one called X-Ledger has also been a big focus and effort since April 2020. God willing, the new system will be transformational for the Society's financial processes and reporting. We hope to go live in London on the 1st of October 2020 and roll the system out to most of our overseas branches during 2021. We covet your prayers in this matter also. The strategic review work has continued also during 2020. Although the amount of senior management time taken by COVID and the X-Ledger project has slowed the pace of the work considerably, we are currently working on the staffing review, including the senior management arrangements, and it is hoped to say more publicly on this early in 2021. The financial plan will be reviewed over the coming weeks as part of the 2021 budget preparations. It is proving very challenging to reach a balanced budget excluding legacy income, and we feel to need much wisdom from the Lord in this regard. Again, we covet your prayers. I would take this opportunity to thank the Society's General Committee, UK staff, branches, personnel, consultants, volunteers, auxiliaries, members, and all who support this work in any way around the world. Without your prayerful and practical and financial support, the work would not be possible. And most of all, we would again publicly acknowledge the Lord's great goodness to the Society over the past 12 months, for bringing us honourably through another challenging time. And we would come back to the principle that we started with. This is the Lord's doings. It is marvellous in our eyes. Brethren, pray for us. Thank you very much.
We now proceed to item 7, and we ask our editorial director, Mr. Jonathan Arnold, please, to read his report.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a great joy and honour to report on the work of the editorial department for this past year. The Holy Scriptures that God has preserved are infallible. They tell us of Christ, the only Redeemer, making translation and publication of the Bible a solemn privilege and responsibility. From Colombia to Israel and beyond, we are confronted by those who would seek to add or take away from the book of this prophecy, about which we are warned in Revelation 22, verse 19. We also have to be vigilant against those who seek to water down the scriptures in translation, something that is far more common than is generally realized. As the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 119, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. We are told by those who would oppose the position that TBS holds that in the future there will be more Bible translations reflecting new culturally sensitive approaches on new Greek texts and new translation methods. In order to remain relevant, some tell us to be and trust in a perpetually changing text, since the mistakes of copyists led to errors in our scriptures. Furthermore, they tell us that these can only be remedied by modern critics discovering, distinguishing, and deciding the human from the divine. This is plainly wrong and fails to regard the providentially preserved Word of God. The TBS Statement of Doctrine of Holy Scripture puts it like this: in conformity to God's purpose, promise, and command, faithful and accurate copies of the biblical language scriptures were made, and through God's special providential care, his word has been preserved in all generations. The professing people of God under the Old and New Testament have been appointed custodians of his word. The Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles received the preserved and standard Hebrew text of the Old Testament scripture. This serves as our pattern for accepting the historically received text of the New Testament scripture, end quote. Moreover, we of course have the verification internally in the New Testament, as the Apostle Peter clearly acknowledges the writings of the Apostle Paul, a scripture in 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. I mention these things at the outset because we are increasingly finding that our position is attacked by those who claim the scriptures are inerrant, but that only through the influence of post-19th or 20th century critics are we now getting closer to the original scriptures. Pray for the TBS, its translators and supporters, in the stand we seek to make for the infallible Word of God. In an effort to set out this position clearly, we hope to hold a text and translation conference, Lord willing, in September 2021, so that we might warn, encourage, and support those who stand for the infallible Word of God. In terms of editorial work, it has been a year of both trials and blessings, and for both we give thanks to the eternal everlasting God. We recognize that without him we can do nothing, and it is only by the grace of God and his sufficiency that we proceed in this work to any God-glorifying end. I would like to thank each member of the editorial department and our consultants for their work, be it managing translation projects, giving linguistic advice, ensuring Bibles and other publications are as accurate as possible, typesetting the Bibles with skill and preparing many calendars and updating people with news about the projects that we're engaged on, and of course the quarterly record. Thanks must also be given to our translation teams. In recent days, there have been some unique challenges, with lockdowns not permitting physical meetings, times where the internet was not freely available, or in some instances, long-term illnesses. Even in all of these, the Lord has been most gracious, and our translators have been preserved and able for the most part to continue their work. Indeed, some projects have been advancing more quickly during lockdown, maybe without some other distractions. It's humbling to see many of these individuals' resolute desire that the word of God would be given to their countrymen, some foregoing work careers and other preferments, and in certain cases even their lives. So in more detail, we continue to have 40 translation or revision projects over 40 in progress, some from each continent on earth. Some projects are undertaken by one person and others by a group. In each case, we seek to carefully select the translators that agree with our principles and pursue that one aim, to have a faithful edition of the scriptures in their language. I convey thanks to you, our members and those involved in the work of the society, for people around the world who I have contact with, for your support for the society. By the grace of God, we have been able to publish the Bible in Thadu, which Reverend Sitlu reported on just last year. In Manipur, the Thadu tribe are eagerly awaiting the Bible to arrive, which is being shipped and is in a container, probably in the sea somewhere, or on a boat that will arrive in due course. Thousands of New Testaments have been printed in Persian that we trust will be a blessing to the Iranians throughout the world, as well as recently published the Chichewa New Testament for the people of Malawi and speakers of that language in the surrounding countries. It is through God's good pleasure that these projects have reached this stage, and we pray that the word of God may be blessed to the people of those lands. Lord willing, we hope that several projects will complete through 2021 and 2022. With completed Bibles in Shona, Sinti, Spanish, a new typesetting in Russian, a New Testament and Psalms in Amharic, New Testament in Chinese, Dangeo, French, Kalenjin and Turkish, and Gospels in other languages, as well as supporting articles. The number of Bible translation projects continues to pose a considerable technical and management challenges, especially in the current circumstances. Please pray for the Lord's provision and wisdom in these matters. In terms of other items that editorial have been involved in the past year, the Society has released more of its translations on the Bible we have available online. We hope that through this we can reach those in persecuted lands who cannot physically obtain a copy. Furthermore, the Koine Greek New Testament is also available, and we have received reports of it being used by students studying for the ministry and, of course, those engaged in translation work. We hope to add further translations in the coming years. In 2019, the Society also published a diary for 2020, the Golden Thoughts calendars, and the Words of Life calendars for 2020 in various different languages. Many thousands of calendars were also overprinted with the details of churches and assemblies. And lastly, we completed the first two books for a curriculum prepared by our Canadian General Secretary, a former head teacher, for use in schools, in church-related schools, and with homeschoolers or home educators. Thank you all for your prayers, help and support this past year. Please continue to pray for us and for our translation teams across the world as we seek to prepare faithful and accurate editions of the Holy Scriptures. May Psalm 68, verse 11, continue to be recognized in us. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. We deeply appreciate what you told us and all the work you do behind the scene. May the Lord bless you in it. Now we ask Operations Director, Mr. Philip Blows, his report. Philip, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In this report for our members and supporters, I would like to give an overview of the work of the Operations Department in London during 2019, and I hope it will be informative and encouraging. The main work of the Operations Department is to purchase Bibles and other scripture publications from our suppliers, to store them securely, and then send them out to our customers and grantees and branches throughout the world. Our suppliers are located here in the UK and also overseas in various countries and continents. We obtain several quotes for each print job to help us select the right supplier and get the best value for money. Generally, we use printers with whom we have a long-standing relationship. There are many things that must be done correctly for a printing job to be completed successfully, so we give thanks to the Lord whenever items are received in our warehouse and approved for distribution. If you would like to learn more about the Bible production process, please read the article in the back of your sales catalogue, which is entitled Your Bible, 10 Steps from Design to Delivery. As you probably know, the Society's aim, unchanged since 1831, is to promote the glory of God and the salvation of men by circulating, both at home and abroad, in dependence on the divine blessing, the Holy Scriptures, which are given by inspiration of God and are able to make men wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We therefore aim to circulate as many scriptures as possible by selling them to people who can afford to pay and granting them to people who cannot, funds permitting. The total number of TBS Bibles, fortunes and scripture items circulated worldwide in 2019 was 10.1 million. Of the 10.1 million items circulated, 7.9 million were sold and 2.2 million were granted. Sales therefore make up the Society's main channel of distribution. Most of the items sold by TBS will eventually be given away free of charge on the mission field and in church work. Of the 7.9 million items sold in 2019, 7 million were sold under license. We license TBS Bible translations to other publishers so that more people can be reached with faithful and accurate versions of the Word of God. Last year, 88% of our circulation volume came through licensing. We are nevertheless conducting a major publishing and distributing work ourselves, quite apart from the licensing. Over 2 million Bibles, scripture portions, and scripture items physically passed through our warehouses in 2019. When we say that an item was granted, we mean that it was given away by the Society completely free of charge. Every grant application is checked and evaluated to ensure that, as far as is practicable, grants are distributed through channels which will be acceptable to you, our supporters. As I mentioned earlier, in 2019, over 2.2 million Bibles, scripture portions, and scripture items were granted by the Society to institutions and individuals at home and abroad. These grantees included missionaries, evangelists, prison chaplains, churches, and schools. And I expect that, like me, you enjoy reading the letters of thanks from our grantees in the quarterly record and elsewhere. We try to make the most of our grants budget by using it mainly to fulfill large requests from grantees who are well known to us. Large grants made during 2019 are listed in the annual report and include 5,500 Portuguese New Testaments to Mozambique, 4,000 English Bibles to Sicily, and 3,000 English Bibles to Botswana. Our motto is the Word of God among all nations, and we seek to distribute scriptures to as many nations as possible. Last year, we distributed scriptures in 39 languages to recipients in 113 countries. The full list of countries can be found on page 7 of the annual report. Now a brief word about railway posters. The UK Scripture Railway Poster Campaign ran very smoothly in 2019, for which we thank the Lord. 183 individual poster bookings were made, funded by 51 sponsors. But 2020 is proving to be more difficult. The coronavirus pandemic and lockdown has meant that in some cases it was not possible to get posters displayed as per our bookings because of staffing shortages at the advertising companies. But of more concern is the fact that the advertising company that owns most of the advertising space at UK rail stations informed us some months ago that 9 out of the 33 UK train operating companies will no longer permit scripture posters to be displayed. We are taking legal advice and have challenged this ruling with the advertising company itself and are now in the process of challenging it with each of the 9 train operating companies directly. Please pray that the Lord would overrule in each and every case so that we can continue to display the Word of God to rail travellers as we have done since 1975. In faith, we still issued sponsorship forms for a 2021 campaign, but invite you to contact our grants department to check the situation in your area before booking. As well as having an international focus to our work, we also encourage the circulation of the scriptures and the promotion of the society's principles at a local level. TBS auxiliaries, which are active in the UK, the USA and Canada, can contribute to this more locally oriented work. During 2019, 4 new or expanded auxiliaries were established in the UK in the following regions: Essex, Suffolk and Norfolk, Greater London, South Scotland and South West England. Please visit our website for more information about auxiliaries. The appointment of a new deputation speaker last year, Reverend Craig Dennison, enabled us to increase our representation at conferences and exhibitions. UK staff members represented the Society at conferences and exhibitions in the following locations during 2019: Leerdam in the Netherlands, London, where 4 events took place over the year, Staffordshire, Edinburgh, Lewis, Cardiff, Larbert, Salisbury, Newcastle upon Tyne, West Bromwich, Atlanta in the USA, and Nogent-sur-Marne in France. As you would expect, most conferences and exhibitions have been cancelled for 2020, which has limited our ability to communicate about the Society's work and principles. But as mentioned earlier, we hope to host our own conference in London in September 2021 on the themes of text and translation, if the Lord wills, and further details will be provided in due course. I would like to express my thanks to each member of the Operations Department for their hard work and dedication during 2019. I would also like to thank the many volunteers who give their time to support the work, whether in our warehouses and packing rooms, on our boards and committees, working from home, preparing children's material, or supporting our auxiliaries. We are very thankful to each one. Finally, I would like to thank you, our many faithful supporters who pray for TBS and support this work. Without you, the scripture distribution I have reported on would not have been possible. Above all, we thank Almighty God for enabling us over the course of yet another year to work towards our aim of circulating the Word of God among all nations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Philip, for that very interesting report. And I would thank all the senior management for the way they've been able to lead the society with God's help over the past year or so. We're very thankful for the continuous work of the society. We now move to motion number 9, and that is to attend to the society's fundamental statement. This is to adopt the annual report and the audited financial statements. The motion appears on your screen in a shortened version of the agenda. Please refer to the agenda for motion being voted on. The full motion is that the society reverently acknowledges its complete dependence on Almighty God, reaffirms its constant adherence to the scriptural doctrines and principles upon which the work was established, sees the divine blessed ones' endeavours to promote the worldwide circulation of Protestant or uncorrupted versions of the divine inspired holy scriptures, which are able to make wise into salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, which are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, and the report and audited financial statements, a summary which has been printed in the report, and copies have been circulated, be adopted. Is there a proposer for that motion, please? Thank you, Philip, and second, and Mr. Blow, second, Peter Ratcliffe. Those in favour, in person, thank you. And we have 30 seconds to vote for or against. Thank you, that's carried. 62 for and none against. We appreciate that confidence. Motion 10 is to appoint the charity trustees and the general committee. To bring in this item before you, please note the details of all the staff's trustees are printed on the agenda. The motion is the following gentlemen constitute the charity trustees of the society and are members of the general committee with ex officio members for the ensuing year. Power to vote any vacancies in their number, used for the annual general meetings. Mr. G.D. Buss, Pastor R.A. Clark, Treasurer, ex officio committee member, Reverend R.G. Ferguson, Mr. A.K. Jones, Dr. Marcus Keogh Brown, the Reverend E.T. Kirkland, the Reverend A.J. Lewis, Mr. J.P. Sayers, the Reverend J.P. Thackway, and Mr. M.A. Bogan. Is a proposal this motion, please? Mr. Souza and Mr. Peter Ratcliffe seconded. Thank those in favour, please. Thank you very much. So we now have 30 seconds to either elect us or otherwise. Thank you very much. 59 have voted for us and none against. So we thank you for your confidence. Not in us, but in the Lord who we trust has appointed us to continue this work. We now have to vote the motion to appoint the auditors. And that the motion that Moore Kingston Smith LLP be appointed auditors for the year. Is there a proposal for this, please? Thank you, Mr. Jonathan Arnold. A seconder, please. Thank you. Mr. Judah Souza, those in favour, please. Present. Can you now have 30 seconds to vote on that one, please? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. 59 are voted for and none against for the appointment of the auditors. Thank you very much. We now come to item 12, and we have a message from our sister organisation, the GBS in the Netherlands, which I'm going to now read on their behalf. Greetings from the GBS for the 2020 TBS AGM. Dear Mr. Chairman, members of the board and staff members, on behalf of the board of directors of Herenigde Bijbel Stichting in the Netherlands, we'd like to convey our sincere greetings to all of you on the occasion of the 189th anniversary of the Trinitarian Bible Society, this virtual meeting. The other times we experience are unprecedented due to the COVID-19 virus, so it is impossible to come together with you in the Metropolitan Tabernacle. We nevertheless hope that long-lasting relationship with your society and the humble efforts we undertake to distribute the infallible and incorruptible Word of God to many in our translation for you. Be blessed of the Lord. That is our heartfelt wish and prayer on behalf of the Board of Directors of the GBS, Reverend Reinken, Chairman, Reverend Van Heteren, Secretary, signed. Thank you, GBS. We really appreciate those who are listening online from the Netherlands. It's a very close relationship which we are very thankful for. And may the Lord bless you in your work as we are in ours. We now have a report from Dr. Michael Harrison of Armenian Ministries on their work of scripture distribution. I believe he's online listening. Is that right? So we welcome you remotely, Ms. Dr. Harrison, and he will now address the meeting.
Hello, everybody. Greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you today and report on the distribution of the Eastern Armenian Bible. It's been a great privilege for my organisation, Armenian Ministries, to work with Trinitarian Bible Society for over 20 years. Armenian Ministries is a small independent mission started by my late father-in-law, Ivan Pambakin, in the mid-90s. Our main objective is to spread the gospel in the land of Armenia, and to help those living in poverty in some of their physical needs. And of course, as we do that, that gives us an opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus and at the same time introduce them to his living word. I've worked in Armenia for about 12 years. My mother-in-law, Sona Pambakian, was instrumental in the translation of the Eastern Armenian Bible. Today I'd like to start by talking about the country of Armenia to give you some introduction to it, and then talk about the history of the Armenian Bible and reasons for the Bible project, and then move on and talk about that project and how it developed, and then finally talk about the distribution of God's Word in Armenia and some of the responses by the Armenian people to the Word of God. So starting with the country of Armenia. Armenia is a small country situated between Turkey and Azerbaijan. It has a population of about 3 million people, largely made up of Armenians. And the land and the people have seen much conflict through the ages, ruled by other kingdoms and powers and authorities. Armenia today is much smaller than it was at one time. At one time it extended across what is now Turkey. And Of course, it was part of the Soviet Union and declared independence in the 1990s. As the effects of communism fell away and the restrictions fell away, new influences came in, and of course the need for the Word of God was greater than ever. Armenia is mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 4, and the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat. And of course, at one time Ararat was in Armenia. Today it lies in Turkey, but Armenians still consider Ararat to be theirs, and it's very much part of their tradition and heritage. Armenia was the first country to adopt Christianity as its state religion in 301. Armenia became the first Christian country. The Armenian alphabet was created by Saint Mestrov Mashtots in 405 AD for the Bible to be translated in order that the Word of God be made available to the people of Armenia. And so with that in mind, I want to move on and just talk a little bit about the history of the Armenian Bible and the reasons for the project which was overseen by Trinitarian Bible Society. There are two dialects of modern Armenian, Eastern and Western Armenian. Eastern Armenian is spoken by Armenians living in Armenia today, and Western Armenian spoken by those Armenians who were living in what is now Turkey, those who had to flee during the genocide in the early part of last century. Those Armenians left that area and went to live abroad, and so they speak Western Armenian. The two dialects are very different, with different vocabulary, different grammar, and it's very difficult for one person to be able to understand the other dialect. The Bible was first translated into classical Armenian, or Grava, as it's known as, by Mesrop Mashbelt in the 5th century. And that classical Armenian Bible continues to be used by the Armenian Apostolic Church. But it's written in a language which is only understood by scholars. An average person wouldn't be able to pick up that Bible and be able to read it or understand it. It would be impossible for them to do so because of the archaic language which is used. And so there have been attempts to produce revisions and produce Bibles which have been, which are more understandable. In the 19th century in particular, there was various projects which were carried out in order to produce an Armenian Bible in Eastern Armenian, which could be understood. And some progress was made, but again, for many people today, they would struggle to understand that Bible. Western Armenian Bibles have been produced, and probably the Western Armenian Bible would be the first choice by most believers, as it's seen as being the most accurate and the most reliable version. In 1994, the Armenian Apostolic Church produced its own version of the Bible. A translation was commissioned and produced, and that is the version which is used by the Armenian Apostolic Church today in some situations, but many believers don't consider it to be a good translation, as it doesn't, they don't feel that it reads well and that it's not reliable. So as we examine the scriptures available in Armenia, there are many problems and many issues that need to be dealt with. And so there was a requirement for a new translation to be produced in modern Eastern Armenian. First of all, a translation which was reliable and faithful to the original text, and then also a Bible which could be easily understood by people living in Armenia today, a Bible which reads well and is clear in the message that it's portraying, a Bible which addresses all of these issues was necessary. And so the objective of the Eastern Armenian Bible project was to produce such a translation, and that was led by my mother-in-law Sona Pambakian. The translation work was carried out by a relatively small team of people, Sona carrying out a lot of the translation work herself. So some of it based on the Bible produced in the 1800s and revised and compared with the original language, and of course with the King James Version as well. and the objective all the time to produce God's word in a reliable way which would be accessible to people in Armenia today. And so, just looking at the history of that project, in 1998, the Trinitarian Bible Society approached my mother-in-law and my then living father-in-law, having heard about their Armenian connections and the fact that my mother-in-law was qualified to be able to undertake such a project. And so the project started there in 1998, starting with the translation of John, which was published in 1999. So the first Gospels of John were produced in 1999 and distributed among people there in Armenia. Since then, further prints of the Gospel of John were produced, and then in 2005 the New Testament was published, and with 20,000 copies being printed. Later in 2008 the Psalms were added, so a new print was produced of the New Testament and Psalms, and I believe at that time 50,000 copies were produced. And then in 2012 saw the completion and publication of the entire Bible, the whole of God's Word, in Eastern Armenian, in the language of the people in Armenia today. And a Bible which was trustworthy, a Bible which is reliable, a Bible which is based on the reliable original texts. And so, since 2012, there have been a number of reprints, there have been a number of batches printed, should I say, 20,000 printed and distributed in 2012, 10,000 printed in 2015 by Bearing Precious Seed, and then another 25,000 printed in 2017. And I want to again say how thankful we are to Trinitarian Bible Society for granting all these Bibles over the years, and of course the New Testaments and the Gospels of John. And as well as the Bible, we've been able to distribute many thousands of Words of Life calendars containing verses from the scripture, and what a wonderful opportunity they provide for the Word of God to go out. And so, thinking about the distribution of the Armenian Bible and some of the response to that, again, we're very thankful for those Bibles which have been granted, and we've been able to in turn give out free of charge in Armenia. And there are many in Armenia who are extremely poor and would never be able to afford to purchase a Bible for themselves. And so being able to give them a free Bible has opened up a completely new opportunity to those people. Many of those people, we have got to know them because of their need of physical help, and often they have approached our organization asking for help with things like food and clothes, and as well as being able to help them with those items, we have of course been able to provide them with something much more precious and eternal and significant. And of course the Word of God is beyond what anybody could ever desire or think that they need. We've been amazed time and time again by the enthusiasm at which people have received the Word of God in Armenia. I think it's fair to say that for many of us, particularly living here in the UK, we're not used to people having a desire for the Word of God. It's rare that we get people knocking on the door asking if they can have a copy of the Bible. But in Armenia, we have seen it to be the case over and over again. People come in and asking for their own copy of God's Word. And many have commented on the fact that the Scripture is a precious treasure, that it is something to be treasured. It's something to be valued and not taken for granted. And I think often we have a tendency to forget the preciousness of God's Word. Those who've received a copy and have read some of it or read all of it have commented on the fact that this translation is clear. The Armenian is easy to read. It's understandable. The message of what the Bible has to say comes through. And of course, that is so important because the Word of God needs to be able to reach people, to get into their minds and their hearts. But at the same time, it's important to maintain the fact that this is a translation which is reliable and is trustworthy and is faithful to the original language, is faithful to God's Word. The fact that it's in Eastern Armenian is an immediate benefit to those who may otherwise have read the Bible in Western Armenian in the past. For those people, that would have been a struggle to try and understand the different grammar, to understand the vocabulary used. And as we know, it can be difficult sometimes for people to just read the Bible even in their own language. And so if they're trying to read it in a language that they really don't understand, that presents a further problem. And so this Bible has really addressed that issue, and we're thankful that it's meeting that need among the Armenian people. There have, of course, been those who have opposed it. There has been some opposition from religious people, even from Christians. There have been a number of cases where people have responded by telling us that something has been translated incorrectly. And of course, that really comes down to the fact that this translation is faithful to the original. And there have been examples where we have been told that the Bible, the Armenian Bible, is incorrect. And just as one example, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25, the English King James Version says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Now, if you read that in the TBS Eastern Armenian Bible, it will read exactly the same in the Armenian. But many of the other translations, including the Western Armenian translation, don't talk about the foolishness of God. They talk about God's fool. And they don't talk about the weakness of God. They talk about God's weak one. And of course, that presents a different meaning. And there are those who have got upset over the fact that the Trinitarian Bible Society, Eastern Armenian Bible, disagrees with what the other translations say. And there are other examples from Scripture where this is the case. But of course, we know that the Bible has to be faithful, and even when it upsets us, even when we don't like what it says, the Bible must remain faithful, and we must accept the Word of God distribution is largely carried out through contacts that we make in Armenia, and many of those that ask for a Bible simply hear by word of mouth that Bibles are available. We never advertise, we never put an article in the newspaper or on Facebook saying that there are free Bibles available. Much of the contact comes through the contacts we have with other believers or with those that we meet as we carry out our aid programs. We give Bibles to individuals. Many have gone to individuals, either one or two copies, and there have been a whole range of people who have received them. People with no church contact at all, people who have not had any contact with the gospel, and really, in some cases, don't know what they are receiving. They don't know that this is the Word of God. They have gone to those who are genuinely searching for Christ, those who are looking for answers, those who are really keen on finding out what the Bible says about God and about their position before God. There are those who have lived under the strains of the Soviet Union as believers, those who have suffered oppression under the Soviet Union, those who have come through and have used whatever God has given them at the time and are now rejoicing in the fact that they've got this Bible available. New believers who found that this isn't just a book which makes a nice ornament. It's more than just something which you put on your shelf or you put on under your pillow to bring you good luck. Those that have seen that this is the Word of God, that this is the living Word of God. Those who are new in faith and want to grow and know that the way to grow is to read this Word and to meditate upon it and to hide it in their hearts. We've had many people who have received the Bible and then they've returned a few weeks later or a few months later and have told us that they would like another copy because they gave their previous copy to a neighbour or to a family member or to a friend. And what a joy that is to know that the Word of God is going out to people in Armenia, many of whom we have never met. And so I want to just bring a few examples of people that we've met over the years, that people that have received Bibles and what they're doing for the Lord in giving out the Word of God. So I'll start with Vahan. Vahan was a policeman and he was serving in the police force in Armenia and had such an enthusiasm for God's Word. He, for many years, was giving Bibles to colleagues in the police force. And again, having an opportunity to give Bibles to people that probably the rest of us may not have that opportunity. A number of years ago, he came out of the police force in order to go into full-time service for the Lord. And this man has given away many Bibles to people in different parts of Armenia. And he's also taken some copies to Russia, particularly to Siberia, to Armenian speakers there. And these are communities which are often cut off, very isolated, and would have no access whatsoever to the gospel. And yet Vahan has been able to take Bibles to these people. Only just a few, because he's limited by what he can take in his suitcase, but it's reached some of those far outlying communities there in Russia. Suzanne Suzanne is a Christian from the Baptist Church, and she is an old Christian, if I may say that. She's known Christianity in communist times. And Suzanne visits poor people. She takes what she can to help them with some of their needs, and but she also takes the scriptures to these people as well. And sometimes that's just the Gospel of John. Sometimes it's a New Testament. Sometimes it's an entire Bible. But she uses the opportunity that she gets as she meets people to help them, to give them the Word of God. Haig is a man that we got to know just a few months ago. He's had a very hard life, separated from his wife, and he's seen a lot of struggles during his time. He was newly converted just a few months ago, and he has a passion for the Word of God, which I think is probably unrivaled. He loves the Word of God, and he will either ring us, or when we're in Armenia, he will pop in and visit us, and he will tell us about what he's read. He'll describe a passage that he's read from the scriptures and tell us with great excitement how God has spoken to him, how it's affected him. And this is a man whose life has been utterly transformed by the Word of God and the working of the Holy Spirit. And it's people like Haig that encourage, I suppose, for the work of distributing the Word of God to continue. The Bible, the Scripture, makes a difference in people's lives. I have to say, at this point, there's still a large demand for the New Testament, and we assumed that when the whole Bible was complete that people wouldn't want just the New Testament. But actually, many have come back to us and said, we really would like some copies of the New Testament, because there are certain situations where it's appropriate to give a person a New Testament, at least to begin with. If they're working with children or young people or in certain evangelistic situations, it's sometimes less overwhelming for a person to open up a New Testament rather than to open up the entire Bible and not know where to start. I'm very thankful that Trinitarian Bible Society have continued to provide us with New Testaments so that we can meet some of this demand. And one particular case where this is evident is in the ministry that a man called Vartan does. Vartan is a teacher, and Vartan likes to give out scriptures wherever he has the opportunity. He's given out New Testaments and Bibles to his students when they've graduated. But him and his wife also distribute scriptures to different schools throughout Armenia, and they've built up a considerable number of contacts with schools over the years. And his aim, his vision, is that they can get either a Bible or a New Testament into every school in Armenia, and get a Bible to the teachers and the staff there, if not some of the students as well. And again, very enthusiastic and very energized to carry out this vision. I'd like to tell you about two men that came to us asking for a Bible. They were both drug addicts. They'd both been in prison. One of the men had served 12 years in prison. And it was during the time after they came out of prison, when they were in rehabilitation, that these two men separately came to know the Lord and then became friends with each other. And the two of them are now involved in working with rehabilitating other men who have suffered with drug problems. And they came to us asking for some Bibles because they realized the impact that the Word of God had had on them, and they wanted to pass the Word of God onto others who were struggling in a similar way. And so these two men have been able to give out Bibles to some of the others in the rehabilitation center, and we pray that God will work in the lives of those men, free them from their addiction, and bring them into a living knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We've given Bibles to churches, and we have contacts in the Baptist Church and the Evangelical churches, and pastors or other church leaders often come to us and say, we haven't got the Bible. We haven't got the Bible for each member of our congregation. There are many people who come to church and they don't have a Bible, and would you be able to help us? And we can testify over and over again what a blessing it's been to see the Word of God go out in that way. Recently, we were in contact with a pastor from a small town just outside of the capital, Yerevan, who works with refugees from Azerbaijan. So these are Armenian refugees that have come from Azerbaijan, and they only speak Russian. And so, again, thank you. Thanks to Trinitarian Bible Society, who have provided us with Russian Bibles. We've been able to give this pastor some Russian Bibles to give to these Russian-speaking Armenian refugees. And again, this is a tremendous reminder of the fact that the Word of God is applicable and it's necessary for all people, wherever they are, whatever language they speak. People need the Word of God. There's a lady called Zhenia. She's 90 years old and she has amazing health. She still is serving the Lord, and her mission is to take the Word of God to the villages on the borders of Armenia, villages which are very difficult to access, villages where often the residents are very opposed or very wary anyway to people from outside coming in. And she takes Bibles and distributes them, particularly in the schools on the borders, to the teachers, but also to the soldiers as well. Soldiers in Armenia are in particular danger. There is conflict on the borders, and these are often young men that have been conscripted into service, 18 years old, and their time of service is a very difficult time for them emotionally and spiritually, and it's often a good time for them to open up the Word of God and consider what God's Word says. We have various projects going on in Armenia. These different projects have opened up contact with other organizations, people running Bible clubs, people running children's camps, other people doing humanitarian aid work in Armenia. And through all these different channels, there have been opportunities to give out the Word of God. And we're just thankful for this time that we have. We're thankful that the doors in Armenia have been open and remain open for the foreseeable future to be able to distribute the Word of God. And of course, we never know when those doors may close, and so we should use the opportunity while we can. Armenia is a country which, when the Soviets left, there was a void, and it started to fill up with all sorts of things, many of those things very negative, many of those things evil. And there's all sorts of religions came into the country, philosophies, and there is such a need for the Word of God, and we're so thankful that the Word of God is going out in Armenia today. And we know, of course, that without the Word of God, we'll never see true regeneration. We'll never see true spiritual growth. We'll never see people really understanding what it means to be a Christian. Yes, they may be called a Christian. They may call themselves Christian because of their ancestry, because of their history. It may form a major part of their traditions and their identity. But unless they have the Word of God and they come into that knowledge, that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they won't know what it means to be a Christian. And so we pray that as these Bibles go out, as they continue to end up in places that we will probably never manage to visit, we pray that the Word of God will come alive, that people will read that Bible, they'll open that Bible, they'll take it off the shelf, they'll take it from under their pillow, they'll read it and they will consider what it has to say, and they'll come into that saving power, into that saving knowledge, the power of the Lord Jesus. Again, we're thankful for Trinitarian Bible Society for all their support over the years. And we pray that God will continue to bless all the ministries that Trinitarian Bible Society do, and that God will continue to bless his word wherever it is, whatever language it's in, for his glory and for his honour. Amen.
Very instructive address from the Armenian ministers. May the Lord bless you in all the work you are doing. We now proceed to item number 13. In accordance with the agenda, sent to members a letter dated 20th August 2020. Any motion the General Committee consider for the AGM were due by 14th September this year. No matters of substance were received, so there's nothing further to raise under this item. I now conclude this business meeting in prayer. Stand for prayer. We bless thy great and holy name, most gracious God, for help given this morning hour. We pray that all that has been done and said may have the divine approbation that is necessary, that this work, this honourable work, may continue in thy sight. Bless all who labour, both here in the UK and elsewhere, more than any translation works and distribution works. May thy dear hand be upon it for good. Bless us during the interval, and those of us who will partake of food may be blessed in our eating, and may the ministry of the word this afternoon be a food for our souls. We ask all in Jesus' name, for his sake alone. Amen.
Amen.
There will be a break. I think it might be as well to say 2:45, I think, for the afternoon service. Could you put a note on the screen, please? Mr. Reverend Ferguson will preach, God willing, if the Lord will. You could watch it through the same meeting link as you are now using on the Society's website. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.